Hi, everyone. It's Diane Moxley with New Jersey Revolution Radio. We have a really neat panel that's coming up. And also, before we get going, I want to remind you all that we are to keep New Jersey Revolution Radio running. We need your support. So please go to njrevolutionradio.com. There is a donations link. Also, we have a wonderful event coming up on Friday, January 11th. That's this Friday from 7 to 10 in Hamilton, New Jersey. It's way down south. Cassiano Coffee Bar in Hamilton. There is a Facebook event page, so check that out. And before we get started with our panel, we have a, what shall we call it, a Nazi emergency. So we had to bring on our good friend, Daryl Lamont Jenkins, to give us an update on our Nazi emergency that's happening on Saturday in Princeton. So Daryl, can you tell us what's going on?
Well, it's been good. Let me just say it's good to be back on again and really appreciating the relationship that we're developing over these past few months. The rally that's supposed to be happening, well, what had happened was there's this group called the New Jersey European Heritage Association that has been harassing pretty much Central Jersey for the past couple of months. They was at the Unite the Right rally that was held in D.C. They were with the organizer of the first Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville last year. And it was marching with him, and that was pretty much one of the first times we've actually, we as an organization, my organization is One People's Project, and that was one of the first times we actually got a gander at them. They associate with a neo-Nazi named Patrick Little, who is one of those candidates, white power candidates that everybody was talking about last year, running for whatever office. Over the past couple of months, they've been harassing Central New Jersey, but particularly Princeton, with little clandestine rallies or flyers or what have you. And somebody caught them posting up flyers this week, last weekend. And the flyers were to announce a rally that's supposed to take place this weekend, coming up on Saturday.
Okay.
So they sounded the alarm. We're helping to sound the alarm. I was in a meeting with some folks recently, and we're all coming out to oppose them if they show up. We're asking people to come out at 11:30 to Palmer Square in Princeton, because that's where they said they're going to be.
Okay.
We don't know how many of them they're going to be. Usually there's about four or five of them. Okay. We expect to have a significantly larger number.
I think we will, yeah.
We don't know what they have planned, because remember, they always try to do things clandestine. They do things sneaking around for the most part. This time they decided not to, which means they're probably trying to bait us into doing something we shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
So my thing is just be mindful of what it is you do and how it is they can bait you. But we do want people to come out. We want people to watch these individuals and who they are. And incidentally, the person that leads this organization, he actually works at, his name is Dan Deambly, D'Ambly. He works, reportedly works at for the Daily News in one of its plants in Jersey City. So we're making some noise about that. You can see that information on a Twitter feed that was put out by Antifash Gordon. That's the name of the guy on Twitter. But pretty much everything's coming together now. We have a whole bunch of people coming out, from high school students to various organizations around the state, just coming, going out to Princeton tomorrow to just say, no, we're not having this in New Jersey.
Okay, excellent. So you want our viewers to come to Princeton if they're at all in the area, can get down there, get there by 11:30?
Yes.
But it's Palmer Square Saturday.
Palmer. PALMER Square.
And that's, this Saturday, January 12th. So mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of time, but I think with this important issue, I think our viewers will come head down there. I know I'm gonna be there. I know many of our comrades are going to be present. And you think it could be a fairly small number, or will they make a rally cry for more to show up based on what's going on with your organizing? What do you think?
Well, there's no telling. This is a new group. A lot of people are just learning about them for the first time. The most we have seen of their number has been 4 or 5 people. That could get augmented on Saturday. They could bring much more. They could bring much less. They could possibly not even show up at all because they didn't expect the kind of opposition that they're going to get. But it all remains to be seen. We'll see what happens. I mean, this is one of the things that we got to deal with in Jersey. Some of these characters out there, especially in Central Jersey, are testing us. And now it's time for us to step up to this test. We'll pass. Don't worry.
Yeah, you will, I'm sure. And you're saying that for the past week or so, they've been putting up signs for this white supremacist rally throughout Princeton.
Somebody caught them posting up flyers. I think they saw D'Ambly. The guy in the picture looked like Dan D'Ambly. And we think that we caught them as they were the day that they started doing that. We haven't seen any flyers in over the past week or so from this crowd. But the thing I was pointing out is that they flyer a lot in Princeton. They flyer for Christmas. They flyered just periodically. It's as if somebody from their group actually lives in Princeton. In November, they actually marched around, the 5 of them, trying to provoke some folks. And people were responsible in calling them out for some of the stunts that they were trying to pull. So they're trying to bait Princeton in particular. And now they're really stoking the fires with this rally. The actual fight is going to be after the rally. After we're going to have to figure out how to deal with them before they even have another rally, before they take another action. We don't have to wait for them to do something. Now it's time for us to do something about them. They got our attention. Now it's going to cost them.
Okay, so maybe we'll have a follow-up rally down the road to let them know that their presence is not welcome in Princeton, not welcome in New Jersey. Maybe.
Did that. Oh. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, Daryl, thank you so much. We'll have to have you back on to talk about. I know you have a lot of other things to talk about.
Oh, a lot.
Is there anything coming up that our viewers need to know about? Because I know we have to get on to our panel.
Well, the only thing, the quickest thing that I can say right now is that we want people to pay attention to what's going on in Atlantic City. A lot of people are finally, after all these years, starting to be concerned about a monument that features a monument to fallen wreckers in Atlantic City at Kennedy Square, I think it's called. And there's a name of the founder and leader of a group called Atlantic City, quote unquote, skinheads, is listed among the fallen. He got struck by lightning back in 2011 while working at the Revel Casino. Yeah, that's funny. But by the same token, what's not funny is the fact that they didn't care in 2012 when on April 28th of that year, they decided to dedicate add his name to a list of all the fallen workers. And to ignore that is not fair to all those that his group has caused pain to, not to mention the workers, that he's basically been elevated on a par with them when he's definitely not. So we want people to pay attention to that. And then we got some more stuff going on in Jersey City concerning a public defender named Joe Marasco, who is associated with some of these groups. And we could talk more about that in the future. You can find out more information about all of this on idafox.com. That neo-Nazi in particular, whose name is on the monument, his name is Brian Bradley. And we have some articles that we have written from back in the day about him. And yeah, that's what we got.
Okay, so you'll keep us updated and informed, because it sounds like we might have some more actions coming up in regards to these other updates, correct?
Yes, absolutely. We will definitely have more.
Okay, Daryl, thank you so much for popping on tonight. And I know we'll see you on Saturday.
Peace. Take care.
Take care. Okay, our scheduled panel for this evening is on community feeding. So with us this evening, we have Jessica Burkow.
Yes.
And Jessica comes from Jersey City. She's an advocate and activist working with a group called New Jersey Sisterhood. And then we have Paulina Brick and Leonard. So you guys work with an interfaith organization. Is it Shiloh? Is that the name of the organization?
That's the name of the organization that we work with, but not a part of.
Okay. Oh, and you're a member of the American Labor Party, and you fight for workers' control of the economy and to eventually overthrow capitalism. So you're an anti-capitalist.
We're communists, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. And you also are a journalist for the Red Phoenix newspaper and a community and labor organizer. So welcome, guys. I'm so glad you could join us on this topic. So what areas, I know, Jessica, you organize in Jersey City, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and when you're doing community feedings, is this a regularly scheduled event? How do you reach out to your communities? How does it function? What is the infrastructure like?
So it started off approximately four or five years ago. It started off once a week on a Sunday from 12 to 1. We'll gather a couple people, like-minded people, that would like to feed the homelessness that's there, because gentrification happening in Jersey City is very heavy, happening. And especially, you know, rents going up higher, people are losing their homes, they can't afford the rent. Landlords like, slum landlords raise their rents just because they're in the Journal Square area. Mm. So people get kicked out, and they're basically left with no food. They're sleeping in the PATH train station in Hoboken and Journal Square, and of course in Newark Penn Station, but my main focus in Journal Square.
Okay.
And it was a couple people, Mike McLean, Food Not Bombs, Peace Movement. They stopped feeding. Food Not Bombs currently feeds with New Jersey Sisterhood, because I come from So it comes from our own belief, being Muslim, that we should be always taking care of the people out there, no matter what race, creed, religion, whatever it is. We stand up for human basic rights, right? Therefore, we gathered a couple sisters from the Islamic centers that were around the area in Bayonne in Jersey City, and then I founded New Jersey Sisterhood. So I'm the founder, actually, from New Jersey Sisterhood. And since then, we've been always organizing for, you know, human rights, for advocating for things that are correct. Fight for 15. That's how a couple years ago, until now, other people are fighting for 15.
But now we need to fight for 22, right?
Right. Yeah, because rent's going up high.
Yeah, especially in Jersey City.
New Jersey right now had the biggest, people are moving out. New Jersey came out this week in the newspaper saying that they're the number one state that people are moving out, and rents are going really high.
Yeah. So I'm sure even besides the homeless population, which is just exploding, and I hate to see these numbers in our very, very cold nights, long nights that we have. But I'm sure you're probably even seeing some people who might not be homeless, but hungry. So are you open to whoever
passes by? We have actually a couple seniors that come from 3060 Kennedy Boulevard, up up the hill. They come over there because they know on Sundays we actually also have donations, giving out coats, spare clothes, socks, gloves, whatever. People come and, you know, come with Food Not Bombs and Jersey Sisterhood, we actually just give it out. And by the end of the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, everything's gone. Food, clothes, everything. Household goods sometimes. It's a whole nine yards. It just completely, people take it. People are in need right now.
Wonderful. And how can people plug in? You do this every Saturday at Dribble Square?
Sunday.
Every Sunday, 12 to 1. It's at Journal Square?
Yes. And our main theme is vegetarian food. We don't try to get involved with any meats, hot dogs, anything like that. We keep dietary to be vegetarian, not vegan, vegetarian.
Okay.
Just because we don't know anyone's, you know, dietitian needs, or, you know, they don't want to eat pork, they want to eat this kosher or anything like that. We just rather keep it vegetarian, you know, no fish, no seafood, no nuts, you know, also allergy free.
Okay, so it can feed regardless of religious or dietary needs. It can meet the most needs if it's a vegetarian.
Yes.
So can people come down, or do they need to connect with you first? Or
no, they could come show up anytime they want from 12 to 1 every Sunday.
And you're looking for food? Are you looking for physical help from?
Yes. So we basically in need of like napkins, utensils. Those are the main things that we definitely need sometimes that we do lack of, because food, people are already bringing food. But if they are willing to wanting to bring food, they just have to message New Jersey Sisterhood through Facebook, and right away someone answers immediately from our crew to let them know. And we actually have a scheduled in of people who wants to bring what, or if they have extra clothes or they want to bring socks, anything that could help anyone in need during this time right now.
Okay, so the best thing to do to connect would be Facebook messaging New Jersey Sisterhood. Okay, excellent. And Paulina and Leonard, where are you guys out of? What area of New Jersey?
Well, right now our main place of organization is New Brunswick, but now that we're all kind of living a little in different places in the state, we're looking to branch out a bit. Because the program in New Brunswick has become pretty self-sustaining. So we're ready to start expanding.
Oh, and by self-sustaining?
Basically, if we don't, if say there's a Sunday that we can't show up, there's enough volunteers and stuff that we've mobilized together that it still happens.
Okay, excellent. And where does your community feeding take place? The one that's, I guess, that you're saying is self-sustaining and fluidly moving along at this point. Where is that located?
It's every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. In front of the train station in New Brunswick.
Okay. And so is it similar to Jessica's program, where whoever is there gets fed?
Yeah, we do.
Tell us about your program. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Food, hygiene products. Yeah, we've gotten school supplies for kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, we got some big donations from local organizers, and they donated some female hygiene products that some of the homeless women lack, and it was pretty great. Yeah, but yeah, we do organize in New Brunswick primarily, but now we're looking forward to branch out to other places.
So what places are you looking to branch out into?
Possibly Trenton.
Because we're half of our local party group in New Jersey is much closer to Trenton now, so, and there's not a whole lot of organizing happening in Trenton, it seems, so it might be a good place to start.
Okay. And by your party, do you mean the American Party of Labor?
Yes.
Okay. So that's where you connect, and that's your primary organizing entity right now with the community feeding?
Right. Basically, what happened was we were ready. We were working with this student group at Rutgers, and a lot of people were graduating, and we had joined the American Party of Labor, which is a national party and stuff. So we were ready to start doing community work and getting off the campus. So we just went out there and started doing this, and we ran into the person who ran Shiloh, which at the time, this was almost 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
3 years ago, was two people. So it was just kind of like five of us going out every Sunday. And now, I mean, we have between like 8 and 12 people yeah. who show up to hand stuff out, bring donations every Sunday. So we've expanded it pretty well. And we always have hot food and clothes. You know, some things go much faster than others, like hygiene products and things like that. But
you're touching on, then I'm sure all these different community feeding programs where you do have, you know, coats and winter gear, it's probably a really good idea for people to also send donations of feminine hygiene products. I know there's been some awareness lately, but I'm sure that need is still struggling to be met.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah. And sometimes people even forget, you know, warm socks this time of year and, you know, gloves.
Yeah, socks always go very fast.
Yeah. So anything you have, if people want to get in touch with you guys, do you have a way of people to connect, or would you just like people to come down on a Sunday evening to the
They could do either. If they want to come down, that's good. But if they want to message us beforehand, which would be preferable but not necessary, they could just message us on our local Facebook page, which is facebook.com/APL Paul Robeson, because the New Jersey branch is named after Paul Robeson.
Okay, so it's APL Paul Robeson.
All one word, yeah.
All together. Okay. Excellent. Our New Jersey Paul Robeson.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, right from around that area, sure. So let me ask all three of you if, you know, there are unmet needs. We generally think of, you know, Jersey City, Newark, New Brunswick, Trenton, but there's pockets of poverty throughout the state. What do you recommend? Because I think it's great that all three of you just started these projects on your own and really recently. So if our viewers are looking to do this anywhere throughout the state, do you have any tips or pointers how to do this, how to organize, and the do's and don'ts?
Yeah, so we have other organizations like BBNJ, we have Three MEMS. They actually organize in Newark and other places like Passaic and Patterson, other organizations that are from the same religion, which is being Muslim, that actually go into those pockets. And you can look them up on Facebook and their Instagram. They work in Newark and Passaic and Patterson, where mostly the lowest, you know, people that really are in need, gloves, food, sandwiches, they basically hand out on other even days, and they also collect funds just to keep on going. The way I collect, like sometimes we do drives and we use Amazon, as people could purchase and then just mail it to my PO box for the organization, New Jersey Sisterhood, and we actually get the blankets there, mailed there. We have people from different parties or whatever, you know, organizations that actually buy and then mail it to us. And then we just give it out on Sundays, or we give out to other organizations that are in need in Newark, Passaic, or Patterson.
Okay. And what are those organizations, if you wanted to?
Let me give you
sure.
The name is BBNJ and Brother Wesley LeBron. He's the one in charge of doing mostly the feedings in Newark and Passaic.
Okay, so what would be the best way to reach out? Is that a Facebook?
Yes, I would say basically now these days, Facebook is been the legit way to get in contact with these organizations.
Sure. Okay. And, you know, even just thinking, you know, even going out in, you know, northwest parts of New Jersey. So what if we were a little bit outside of the city areas? You know, I know even, for instance, you know, we had a homeless vigil for those that we have lost in the past couple of years in the Dover area of Morris County, because there's pockets of poverty in that area and people don't even know that there are homeless out there. So if there's not a program started, do you guys have any tips or pointers for how people could get their own community feeding and, you know, organizing of all the supplies and things that this community would need? Do you guys have any suggestions to help our viewers out?
What we have been doing is that we started with, like, I used to cook myself for the people, and you just find a spot where homeless people typically gather, like the train station in New Brunswick, and sometimes you work with local businesses who want to have their name on the whole service part of it, and so they would donate food. So if you go talk to some local pizzeria, they can give you some food. In terms of clothing, you can do flyering. I think it's very good to combine flyering for the clothes with the general propaganda and general awareness of why homelessness happens in the first place, and why I think it's good to educate people. It's not about the action of service itself, but about building the awareness as well. So yeah.
Sure. So flyering can be done in a community, not just to let the population that you're looking to serve be aware, but also for the greater community to be aware of what's going on.
Exactly.
Right under our noses, that sometimes we're coming and going. You know, I'm in Newark Penn Station a lot, and it's really hard not to see it there. But if you're just a little bit in the outskirts of the city areas in New Jersey, you may not realize what's going on. So it would be good to just raise awareness for everyone, and then also help you get supplies, like you said, and restaurants. Have any of you guys ever been harassed by, say, law enforcement? I think New Jersey's got a pretty good rep and lets us feed those in need. But have you guys been harassed?
So, not harassed. They've been, in the beginning when we started, we were getting a lot of, you're not supposed to feed anyone here in the streets. You're bringing more attention in Jersey City in the Journal Square area. It's against the law. We didn't get harassed by law enforcement. We got harassed more from the Department of Health of Jersey City.
Okay.
And then after that, there is I think it is during Bill Clinton's time, there is a legislation that allows to actually feed people as long as you're not charging. So the Department of Health cannot get involved at all. So as long as you're not charging for food and you're not handling meats, it shouldn't bother you, any department or anything like that. So besides the dietary and religious reasons, you actually could just feed anyone you want as long as you don't charge anything.
Okay, because then you're not subjected to the same, you know, I know in New Jersey we had some problems with farmers markets and vendors having to go through the same type of scrutiny that a restaurant making food would. So then I'm assuming what you're saying is because you're not charging, you're not under that scrutiny because you're giving the food away. Okay.
And you could actually cook from your house if you're giving it for free.
Okay.
One of the other reasons what they were saying, it's because it's not in a commercial kitchen and we're not handling food appropriately. That is the reason why we weren't allowed and we were getting harassed because of that. But after being said under that, legislation or, you know, proclamation, we don't abide to those kind of laws as long as you actually just are giving it for free. It's like a community center, you know, in a church, in a religious center that you're giving food after you finish the service. Mm-hmm. You don't see Department of Health going in there and saying, let me see if your commercial kitchen is up to par to mm-hmm. feed your community. No, it's not. So it's like ridiculous. We could feed, we could give, and we could do what we want. We're not charging anyone. We're giving back.
Yeah.
And I'm very passionate about that. Like, that's something that got me really ticked off.
Yes, to see the pushback from the Department of Health. And I think it's a beautiful thing for the people to try to take back the commons.
Yes.
And sense of community and solidarity and support. We're in this struggle together. So we have to try to, you know, when we all rise up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Paulina, do you have, and Leonard, do you have any, did you guys get harassed at all in New Brunswick or other areas you guys have been in?
Yeah, so we haven't been like arrested or shut down, but we have been intimidated. They do like big police patrols in and out of the train station when we're there, like six cops going up and down, just being intimidating. We've been forced to move from in front of the train station to like beside the train station just for them to mess with us. They've had us move our cars from the parking lot. So there's been harassment and intimidation, but so far nothing
major,
extreme.
Nothing shutting you down. Good, good. So maybe we can inspire some people wherever you might be throughout the state, where, you know, we're all in this together. So we have to help each other meet these needs, because we can see these systems that we have are failing. I know that I just was in North Penn Station last night coming home from a meeting. And yeah, it was, you know, I guess it was, you know, well after 10. And even though the train station is a warmer place to sleep, it's no place for human beings to be sleeping. And with all of these empty homes and crowded, sometimes dangerous shelters, I'm so glad you guys are out there trying to meet the needs and bring some humanity to this, and, you know, and sometimes doing this work, just looking people in the face and giving them some sense of comfort that they don't get in the day-to-day when they're, you know, shuffling off from a shelter to a floor of a train station to any shelter they can find. And this time of year, I'm sure we need it now more than ever. So what are your, I know we have to wrap up now. Do you have strong asks right now for our viewers, or tips and pointers for how they can engage that we haven't touched on yet?
So I would say, anyone that wants to start off feeding, a community feeding, the only thing you need is a pot of soup with vegetables and pasta and cups and spoons. As long as you do that and you stand wherever you want to stand, anyone will actually take that cup of soup during this time right now. Anyone would need it. Anyone would want it that is passing by and maybe didn't have that extra dollar to pass by to get something warm before they got home, and they had nothing at home in the fridge. So we're going through rough times right now. I would say economically, everything in the state of New Jersey, despite, you know, the new legislations and everything they're trying to do, whatever, we still have to keep it community. We still have to come bring it back and embrace that we're all the human race. And we all need some care and tender love, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say, with a cup of soup, wherever you think you could possibly stand and that could actually bring that cup of soup a smile, is perfectly fine. And that's how you start. You really start with a cup of soup. And I was going to also...
Anyone can do this. One, put a big pot on your stove this weekend, right?
Yeah. And go to any
with healthy, nutritious beans and veggies. And
less than $20. Spoons, yeah, and cups.
I wonder how many people can you feed with $20, right? With the right vegetarian, which is a little bit less perishable, right? So it helps the community feeding.
And then you have also Monday to Sunday in Journal Square, actually, there's a bus that takes all homeless people that are in the cold, yellow buses to take them to Kearney Warming Center. So anyone, even if you guys are anywhere in the street, see somebody at 9:30, they could hop on that train to the PATH train station on Journal Square and get on the bus, and they'll take them to Kearney's Warming Center. So that's one thing that, or you could eat actually at 9:30, bring a pot of soup there before they go on the bus and give a cup of soup before they go to the Kearney's Warming Center, because they don't have any food in the Warming Center. It's just plain slats of beds for people to just sleep in a big room.
Good idea. And Paulina and Leonard, do you have any?
I think the big thing is to try to be as consistent as possible. Because especially when you start, you may not get a whole lot of people just because you have to build that trust with the homeless or the very poor workers who are just hungry and need an extra meal or something like that. So consistency is really important. And I think the other thing, which is, I think the harder part, is to take it beyond just charity. Because charity, for charity's sake, is just, you know, feeding poverty. We have to use these charitable programs as a springboard for larger community organization, and particularly community organization of opposition towards the power structures that currently exist. If we just leave it at charity, then it's just always feeding homeless people over and over again. We have to work to end the conditions that create poverty rather than just sustain it.
Sure. So this is a great opportunity for communities to come together, so the people that are doing the helping can be helped themselves and learn how to organize. And this is just one aspect, it sounds like, right?
Right.
And I think it's important to simultaneously, while you feel compassion towards other people, to become angry at the root of their suffering. Mm-hmm. So, and direct that anger in the correct direction of building the actual revolution, which would solve the problems of poverty and all the terrible things that the capitalism breeds.
And the suffering, because we have enough. There's no reason that anyone is sleeping on the streets tonight. There's no reason that anyone is going to bed with an empty stomach tonight. That's just greed.
Right, but what, we are so much closer to those homeless people than we are to the rich, right? Mm-hmm. So what we have to realize is that we are suffering as well, but in a different way. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for your time this evening, and thank you so much for what you guys are doing out there. You're inspiring me, and I think I'm gonna, you know, have to do some of this good work. And I encourage all of our viewers to, you know, just take a couple, you know, 1 or 2 hours out a week can make such a huge impact. Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything, having this live.
Yes, thank you for participating. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.